97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, UNC's history in the Final Four. Our first guest, Adam Lucas, publisher of Tar Heel Monthly and Tar Heels Today. He's on the Tar Heel Sports Network all the time, and among his seven books, he wrote A Century of Excellence, the first 100 years of Tar Heel basketball. So, Adam, we know this is the 20th Final Four appearance for the Tar Heels. First was back in 46. They had a nice run there, 67, 68, 69. What can you tell us about those early Final Four years?
Well, that it was a lot different. It wasn't a 64-team field. It really didn't become known as, quote-unquote, the Final Four until after Carolina had gone and won it in 1957. Oregon, who's Carolina's opponent, went in 1939, the very first one, and they only had to win one game to get there. So that's a very different setup than what we know today, and certainly nowhere near the amount of media attention and publicity that it'll get this coming weekend.
All right, so tell us about those teams from 67 through 69. That's a very nice run there.
Those were really important teams to Carolina basketball because that kind of established Dean Smith at his place at the forefront of college basketball. Charlie Scott, of course, was very influential with those teams. Larry Miller and Bob Lewis were very important. And that really made Carolina basketball what we think of it as today, because that validated that what Coach Smith was doing was working and really laid the foundation for what he accomplished later on in his career.
You mentioned Charlie Scott. We'll be speaking with him a little later in the show. Then Carolina went to a couple of Final Fours in the 70s, a couple more in the 80s, and then five in the 90s, including back-to-back in 97 and 98. What led to that real run of success there in the 90s?
Well, it was interesting because Carolina didn't go from 1982, when Dean Smith won his first championship, to 1991. And there were some people who thought maybe Coach Smith had lost his touch, maybe he was getting beaten out too often by Duke, which had started making some Final Four runs in that same time frame. And so they got back in Indianapolis in 1991, and as you mentioned, Coach Smith recruited some great players in that time frame. You've got Eric Montross, Rasheed Wallace, Jerry Stackhouse, Vince Carter, Antoine Jamison. There's just a lot of players from that era who were up in the rafters of the Smith Center, and that contributed to making a lot of deep runs.
All right, so in the 2000s, had four Final Fours then, including back-to-back in 2008, 2009. How does that run of 2, 8, 9 compare to this run, potentially, 16-17?
Yeah, I think we'll know a lot more when we see the outcome of 17. I think it's got the chance to be very similar because the 08 team lost to Kansas in the Final Four, and really, I just didn't feel like they put forth a very good performance. They were down 40-12 early in that Final Four game, and that motivated them to come back in 09. And we all know what happened in 2016 and the motivation that's provided for this year. And if this year's team's able to finish it off, then I think we'll look at those two things as being very similar.
All right, so let's talk about this team and making it to the Final Four. We know that South Carolina has never been there before. Oregon has been there one time many, many years ago. How much of an advantage is it to have gone through everything that leads up to those games, all the stuff that you're experiencing right now?
I think Coach Williams mentioned this earlier this week, if I remember correctly, and I think he's right. I think it really helps you in the lead-up to the game. Once the games start, it's a basketball game, and it's just like the other basketball games you've played. But some of the media obligations, all the hoopla, all the people asking you for tickets, the friends that you haven't heard from in 10 years who suddenly are your very best friends, all those things are things that Carolina has gone through before and that these other three teams are really doing for the first time. And that includes the coaches, which is, I think, a significant advantage for Carolina because Roy Williams done it 9 times now. So I think it's more between the day you qualify and the moment they throw the ball up. And once they throw the ball up, you got to play basketball.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the shot. Luke May hitting the shot to beat Kentucky. There have been other shots in the NCAA tournament. What are some of the more memorable ones that you've chronicled?
That I've chronicled? I'm not sure there's been a single NCAA tournament shot that compares to Luke May's shot. The one I've heard most often compared is Charlie Scott's shot against Davidson, which, of course, you'll probably talk to him about during that Final Four run in the late 60s. Rick Fox's shot in 1990 that beat top-seeded Oklahoma, that was a big one. That's probably the most comparable from what I would consider to be kind of my era of following the Tar Heels, but that was a second-round game. That didn't send Carolina to the Final Four. So I really think Luke May's shot's in a very select group of really important shots that also happened to occur right at the buzzer and have kind of that walk-off feel to them.
And the Tar Heels know what that walk-off feel is like when they're on the other side of the coin just from last year. How much motivation, I mean, they've been calling this the redemption tour the whole time, and they certainly have the opportunity to finish out that redemption.
Yeah, I think that'll probably get a lot of play if Carolina's able to beat Oregon on Saturday. Certainly that'll be a major, if not the major, storyline going into Monday night. But you got to beat a really good Oregon team first. It reminds me a little bit of, as you mentioned earlier, that 08 team that came back for 09. You don't come back to college basketball to win a national championship because it's too hard. You can play great and just get beaten by an inferior team that's having an amazing night. And so you come back to college to enjoy college, and it's because you like your team and playing for your coach and you think you'll get better. But if you come back solely to win a national championship, there's strong odds you're probably going to leave disappointed.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Adam Lucas of Tar Heel Sports Network about UNC's history in the Final Four. Adam, you mentioned how difficult it is to come back and win a national championship. What I remember from recent memory is University of Florida did that. But that's certainly, as you intimated, not something you can count on. Even if you have the same players, the same level of talent, everyone else has different players. So just how difficult is it on a scale of 1 to 10, do you think?
It's a 10, and I think it gets harder every year. And there are so many things that are out of your control, like injuries. If Joel Berry's ankle doesn't feel better and he's not able to play, then Carolina's in big trouble. There's what kind of bracket you end up in. I think you can make a case that Carolina, Kentucky, and UCLA are all three teams that should be in the Final Four, but they all ended up in the same region. Only one can make it. And I think Kentucky's very good. They might be one of the three best teams in the country, and they won't be at the Final Four. So there's so many things that are beyond your control, and you only get one game. You have one off game, and you're done. And that's happened to Carolina several times in the past where they were probably the best team but didn't win it. And so it's just there's an element of things that are out of your control that make it very difficult to do.
All right. Having said that, how odd is this Final Four? I mean, I think I saw there was 3/1,000ths of the brackets that successfully predicted this particular Final Four.
Yeah, I think certainly South Carolina is kind of the outlier. They're a 7 seed, and I don't know very many people who picked them to either beat Duke or make it to the Final Four. Gonzaga is a 1 seed, but everybody's kind of skeptical of them because they play way out west, and nobody ever really sees them play. And then Oregon had a major injury during the conference tournament, which seems to have kind of spurred them on, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue that. And then you got Carolina, who everybody already knows about, and sort of the been there, done that type of team. But it's an unusual Final Four. You usually have at least two of those marquee programs that are still standing on the last weekend, and this year that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, it almost seems like Oregon is not the Cinderella team, but it's the team of destiny, the term that people like to use. They lose their big shot blocker, and they seem to be just about as good at protecting the rim as they were before. You don't want to say they're better without that kid, but they are still a very strong team.
Dean Smith always said that a team can overcome the loss of a key player for one game because they all band together and everybody raises their level of play just that much higher. But then he said it catches up with him. And Oregon's been able to sustain it longer than Coach Smith would have expected or that I think anybody's expected. But if you look back at the preseason, they were expected to be a very, very, very good team. Everybody thought Kellen and Oregon would play in the Maui Invitational. That game didn't happen because Oregon was dealing with some injuries then too. But now we're going to get to see that same game just maybe about 4 or 5 months later.
Okay, so let's handicap that second semifinal. What are you seeing?
I think Carolina's got an advantage on the inside, certainly. They've got more height and more bulk in there, and they're going to need to get on the offensive glass and create some offense that way. Joel Berry's got to be able to play. That's the most important question that Carolina's facing. He's not got to be able to not just play, but be effective. He's essential to Carolina. And they got to make shots. They've got to shoot the ball a little better than they did probably in Memphis. Justin Jackson's got to make some shots from the perimeter. You're not going to beat Oregon just shooting two-point shots. You've got to have some threes go down as well.
That's something I wanted to ask about, comparing what they need to do to what they have done, really throughout the season, but specifically in a couple of games in the tournament, is long stretches of not very good play. Playing well enough to hang in tight or even maintain the lead, but fairly long stretches of just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is that Carolina really hasn't had yet in the NCAA tournament that one game where everybody's playing really well. And you usually have that at some point. They've had a couple quick stretches early against Arkansas, maybe the first half against Texas Southern, but Texas Southern's not very good. Where just everybody's hitting shots, everybody's executing, everybody's defending. That hasn't really happened yet. So I think there's a school of thought that maybe it's coming this weekend, and if it did, certainly that would be very beneficial.
Well, certainly that's what Carolina fans are hoping for, that they're able to put together two games where they all do play well at the same time. But even that, you mentioned how difficult it is to go back to the Final Four, the championship game. That's difficult as well, to get everybody playing at the top of his game on a particular night.
Well, that's one of the things that makes it so difficult, as you talked about, is that you're going to have to play good teams. You don't just get to the Final Four and get to play Texas Southern. You're going to have to play a team that's already beaten good teams and that is playing well and has some momentum. And you can say that about any of the three other teams that are here in Phoenix. And Carolina's going to have to play well just to have a shot to win a national title.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about UNC's history in the Final Four, and we're switching guests from Adam Lucas of Tar Heel Sports Network to Charlie Scott, two-time All-American who led UNC to the Final Four in 1968 and 1969. Charlie, that was a really nice run for the Tar Heels, 67-69. What are your memories of the Final Four?
Well, first of all, I mean, when we start talking about, the run to the Final Four, I mean, people got to realize this is the 50th year of really Coach Smith's first run to the Final Four. And I like to give credit to the guy who really started what we now call the Carolina tradition. And that was guys like Rusty Clark, Dick Rubard, Joe Brown, Gerald Tuttle, Bill Bunning. Those were the guys that really started this fantastic thing that Carolina is now known as, the Carolina system and the Carolina way. So, I mean, I remember my biggest thing was that when I came as a freshman, I had opportunity to watch those guys play the first year. And, that first year where they played in Louisville, I mean, I drove up there to watch them. And then I was it was great to be a part of the Final Four as a Carolina fan at that time because I was a freshman. I wasn't allowed to play. And I was just looking forward to being on the team with those guys the next year.
All right, a lot has been said this week about Luke May's shot that sent the team, this year's team, to the Final Four. You had a pretty important shot back in those days in the tournament against Davidson. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I do remember, of course. I mean, and it meant a whole lot to me because, again, I was playing against a school that, first of all, was in-state school, Davidson, and it was the school school that I had originally committed to go to. So, of course, I remember my shot a great deal. But Luke May's shot, I mean, I was watching the game, and the great thing about Luke May, I think, is that he's a great recipient. And what I mean by that is that he's not the player you go to for a shot, but he's the player that when other players get in trouble, he knows where to get into position to have a good shot and to get a good shot. So, I mean, he puts himself in the position to be the recipient, as when Theo Pinson drove, he was right there where Theo needed to look to find a guy to get a good shot. And his shot was a great one. I really believe this best job that Roy Williams has done as coaching, because I think he's taking these guys who are not one-and-done players and taking them to two Final Fours, which I think is extraordinary. And I especially like to give credit, I think, and I told people this, and I tell people this all the time, whoever is the big man's coach at Carolina, they need to give him a raise because his big men play fantastic.
Well, I want to get back to that thought in just a moment, but first I want to ask you about a specific game in December of 1968. Wasn't in the tournament, it was during the regular season, but UNC plays Oregon, which will be the opponent in the semifinal. Charlie Scott scores 28 points. The Heels crush the Ducks 106-73. And thanks to your daughter Simone, who happens to have been my student back in the day, for alerting me to that Daily Tar Heel article. What sort of memories does that bring up, that you had such an important game against Oregon, and now the Heels are playing Oregon in the semifinal?
What happened was, the year before, we went out and played in the Far West Classic, which was the Oregon team's tournament. So they owed us a return trip to play us, and I think we played them in Greensboro, if I can remember correctly. You know, I might be wrong on that. When you get old, you forget where you play. But again, you know, playing at that time, playing teams from East and West Coast wasn't done on a normal basis. So for us, that was a big game. We were playing a team from the West Coast, and we had played them the year before in their tournament, and this was not a tournament we were playing them in. But again, you know, it was the beginning of the year. It was beginning of my junior year, and it was the year that that we thought we had a good chance, you know, to go all the way, and the game was early, and to play against a West Coast team, which style is usually different from an East Coast team, was something that we looked forward to doing. And, you know, playing against them, there were no particular stars on that team, but it was a good Oregon team, and like I said again, I just was with a great group of guys. I mean, Rusty Clark and Bill Bunning and Joe Brown and Dick Grubauer. I mean, we had a great team, and really, they were no match for us that year. I mean, this year I watched them play, and I watched them play, so I know this game is going to be entirely different. I hope it turns out the same way. I wish the score would be the same, but. I think the Tar Heels are going to have a little tougher fight with these group of guys, and but I have confidence that they can overcome them.
So, Charlie, I wanted to ask, UNC has a bit of an advantage having been to the Final Four just last year. It's been a really long time for Oregon, and South Carolina's never been there at all. So that's an advantage. How much of a disadvantage is it to have to play one and possibly two West Coast teams on the West Coast?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that that's the way it happens in basketball. I mean, I remember my first year when we played, we had to play UCLA in Los Angeles. I mean, it happens. Sometimes it happens. I think it's a disadvantage from a crowd standpoint, because again, you're playing in a Pac-12 country and you're playing a Pac-12 team. So, I mean, that's a little disadvantage. But those things have been to our advantage before, and I have confidence that, you know, the team plays wherever they got to play. I mean, I think our guys understand that they've been playing long enough. They played in hostile situations before. They played in Kentucky. They played in Duke. So I don't think playing in the West Coast is going to throw those guys off that much, because they're playing a West Coast team.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests, Adam Lucas and Charlie Scott. Thanks also to producers Caleb Waters and Rachel Scott, who's not related to Charlie. And thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.